As we open up the sugya that takes us on to Gimel and Beis and beyond, you're struck once again by a phenomenon we've already seen, which is on the one hand, the Tanaim were interested in starting often with a Din Rabbanan. We spoke about that months ago. Someone says in Bava Basra and elsewhere, I did the Chaviva. And here in Maseches Gittin is certainly a shining example of that. We start not with Daf Yud Zayin and the Dinim of Ksiva Saget, Doraisa. We're beginning the third parak, the Dinim of Ksiva Lashma. Mishnayis open with the Din D'Rabbanan, and Takana, that made the get with Din Sayam, has to meet D'Rabbanan, not only hand over the get, but say, Befana Nichta, Befana Nechta. On the one hand, we start with the D'Rabbanan. Again, on the other hand, that thrusts you into all of the key Daraisa issues right away. We've already seen so many, both global issues and getting specific issues. Both global issues of Rov and Edus and Erechanan and Yisurin. And the rules, which might be Daraisa, that govern the design principles that govern how Chazal make D'Rabbanan, as well as the getting specific issues. We already encountered in a pretty serious way the definition of a shtar and Edus Bechsav Bidas and Mishayr, the distinction between a shtar and Edus. We already encountered in an even more specific way the role that Lishma might play in defining the get. Now, in the third round of the working on Rabba and Rabba, the Gemara takes us to the heart of it. You're at the very bottom of Gimel Amanal. Achlik is Rabba Rabba. What are Chazal trying to accomplish with the Takan Rabbanan of Tefaneh Nechtam? Rabba had said, we're worried about you're bringing a get from Medina Sayam from a remote location. What's going to happen if down the road the husband will show up and demand a kiyum haget, kiyum hachasimus, kochamein of barosho. You realize this is a problem, so just bake it in. The fellow brings a get to Medina Sayam, so it happened right away, say, b'fanechtem, and that will serve as the words of this one, shaliach, but he's saying not just, I know, but b'fanai, I actually witnessed tiksiva, I actually witnessed the chasima, so that will take the place of any subsequent need for a kiyum hashtar. That was Rabba. Rabba said, no, we're worried about the chance that this get is not kosher. Why is it not kosher? Ki she'ein v'kiyum l'shma. First thing we're going to run number one questions for Aliba to each one. Why is one suffice? And then we had seen the second round of questions, the second half or so of Gimel and Aleph. Was I understand how Rabba and Rabbi each work individually, but why would you choose one over the other? What's the weakness of Rabba's Mahalach of Eimei Mesuyim L'Kaimo that drove Rabba, that prompted Rabba to prefer Bikin L'Shma? And what was the weakness of Rabba's Pshat that drove Rabba to take his focus? And one of the things we had mentioned was that Rabba, one thing you had mentioned is that for Rava's pshat, you would think it would just be b'fanei nechtam. After all, right? We said Rava's all about the kiyum hashtar. For Rava, it's all about the kiyum hachasimus. When you do a classic kiyum hachasimus, all that you focus on are the signatures. Either the eidim themselves come; they just have to talk about their signatures. Or you give other people the eidim. If you bring the back to the original, name, they'll remember the whole event. But if I have a shtar signed by Reuben and Shimon, and I'm later Makayim it with Levi and Yehuda, Levi and Yehuda have no idea, they have nothing to say about what was written in the shtar. They don't even have to have been born. We could have a shtar that's 30 years old, that was signed 30 years ago by Reuben and Shimon. But at this point, they're already older people. Levi and Yehuda show up. They're 15 years old. But they say, we've seen samples of Reuben and Shimon's signatures over the last couple of years since we became Bar Mitzvah, and this looks the same. And that's fine. Levi and Yehuda obviously have nothing to say about the content of the shtar or about the ksivas of the shtar. They weren't alive. It doesn't matter. Kiyomash, classic Kiyomash Tar is just about the Chassidus. Right? So the Gemara said previously, that's a weakness of Rav. According to Rav, why do you say before Nechtav? If it's all about substituting for a typical Kiyomash Tar, it's before Nechtav. That we dealt with last week. Okay, Rav says, no, Hagufa, I want to make it distinct and different for Hagel Kiyomash Tar. Also, Lechlufa, fine. The Gemara assumed, Lefi Rabba, we understand it. Lefi Rabba, Befanei Nechta, makes a lot of sense. You want to know that you have Ksiva, you want to know that you have Ksiva, Lashma. According to Rabba, that's not about Lashma, so then Befanei Nechta is Shver. Where, by the way, does that come from? That you need Ksiva. That you need Ksiva, Lashma. So number one, there's a Mishnah. Number two, there's a Mishnah. There's also even more Mishnahs. But for now, number one, there's a Mishnah which we had already seen, leaving aside the Limud HaBikias, that you seen earlier in the year in Iyun. So the first Mishnah of third Parak says quite explicitly, Parak Kol Aget. Kol Aget Sheniftav Sholo Shemisha, Pasol. Absolute. Very clear, up front, that Ksivas Aget requires Lashma. And it's not just the Chatkhila, it will pass, if there wasn't the Ksivas Aget Lashma, it will pass with Yevad. You remember that opening mission of the third parak, the bottom of Chav, Dalet, Amud, Aleph, the Mishnah had gone on to explain that you need, there. When we talk about Ksiva Lashma, it means multiple things. It means having in mind that this is meant to be an instrument of divorce, it's written L'Shem Krisus, and specifically, it's not just a form, it's not just a mock. This is the real deal. It's actually meant to be useful. It's actually meant to be a useful tool. And more specifically, not only is mental shame creases, but specifically creases between this husband and that wife. If you just wrote it to be used for some couple or another to get divorced, if their names fit, that's not good enough. You have to be l'shem creases, l'shem ha'ish, and l'shem ha'isha. That was the Mishnah Chav Dalet Amanav. The Mishnah there was very clear about the content of the din. If you look at Chav Vav Amanav, fast forward to Plop. There you hear about the Mokar. There the Mishnah Chavavimov is talking about writing forms. Can I write a form for a shtar? I'll leave blanks. Yesterday I was at a wedding. I had a chance to sign the ksuba. So different weddings have different types of ksubas. Sometimes people like, there's a, I don't know if it's a philosophical debate or more an aesthetic debate. You want to invest in a beautiful calligraphic ksuba. That's not more a question of how you choose to spend money, how much money should you spend. But it's also, that's one question. Another question is, do you plan to hang your ksuba on the wall? It only makes sense to have a calligraphic ksuba, even if that's the sort of thing that you'd be willing to spend money on. It only makes sense to have a calligraphic ksuba if you're going to display on the wall. If you go to visit people's homes, you'll see some people have their ksuba hanging on the wall, and some people don't. You're not going to have it hanging on the wall anyways. You want it to be kosher. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to plunk down extra cash for it to be pretty. That's an interesting question. Do you hang on the wall? Do you hang the ksuba on the wall or not? On the one hand, it's a memento of your wedding. On the other hand, when it talks, it's a prenup that talks about what happens, contingencies, what happens if. The content of the ksuba is not necessarily wall-worthy, but the overall vibe, you know, it's a memento of a very beautiful romantic event. Okay, interesting question to think about. But specifically, it means also that some people will have the ksuba was written for them. Other cases, no. You can print out a form. You can go to a svarim store, or you can go online to YU Torah, and you can print out a form that has all the nusach of the ksuba there, with blanks. Blanks for the husband's name and the wife's name, and there are a few other things that also change depending on family circumstances. Ibe avua, ibe nasha, this is her first marriage, second marriage. Okay, so you have blanks in there, but I almost have 95% of the nusach is already written out, and you just fill in the blanks. That's a form. So is that legitimate or not? So that's what the Mishnah discussed in the Chavav Manalv. And Rabbi Lazar, at the end of the Mishnah, says specifically, Tanakama says, you can have forms, you always have to leave blanks. Rabbi Lazar says at the end, Rilaz says at the end that normally you want to have a form for a shtar, that's fine. Rilaz a makshir bekulan chutz migitei nashim. You have a get, it's not enough just to leave blank spots for the husband's name, the wife's name. Why? Shne'emar b'chos avlo l'shmo. B'chos avlo l'shmo. There's a din of l'shmo. You need to have a ksiva l'shmo. You need to have ksiva l'shmo. And there's a mukher for it. A mukher in chumash. Why do you say b'chos avlo sefer krisus? That's from the parasha of Gittin and Kiseitze. Just say b'chos av sefer krisus. No, Sami Yada, write a sefer krisus. Write a document of divorce, and the husband will hand it there. Why does it say v'chasav law? Obviously v'chasav. How is it writing for her? If it were written v'chasav sefer kisus when Osam b'yadah, it wouldn't have been just as clear. So that's what our beloved says in the Mishnah. Law, saying you're writing it for her, means it has to be, at the time of the writing, that has to be the intent. Suppose you just wrote it, and the subject decided to give it to her, it has to be written may rosh, to be given to her. So that's how we know that you need ksiv l'shma. The Mishnah Chavdal is clear about the din. Mishnah Chavav is clear about the makar. Now the Gemara says one second. So if l'fi Rava that b'fanech v'nechtem is all about kima shtar, so we were a little troubled. How come you have to talk about ksiv? Okay, but if it's l'shma, we understand you talk about ksiv. We need to know that it was written l'shma. Now the Gemara digs a little further. And here's where things open very, very wide. Ula Rabba, second last line, Gimono. Ula Rabba, Damavisha, and Bikin Lishma. According to Rabba, that you require Bikin Bilishma. Man Hai Tana. Who is this Tana? Rashi says, the Tana of our Mishnah. The boy Ksiv Lishma. Ooh, boy. Chasim Lishma. Does that understand? So. For Rava, we were bothered, why saying b'fanei nechtam, if it's all about kima chasimus. According to Rava, why saying b'fanei nechtam? Didn't we say, you need ksiva, mishma? So say b'fanei nechtam. Why saying b'fanei nechtam for? According to Rava, apparently you need ksiva l'shma and chasim l'shma. So Gemara says, we don't understand, let's focus on the Gemara's kasha. For now, let's just see the Gemara's kasha. Gemara's kasha itself is lengthy. A good part of Gimel Amud Beis is consumed with the kasha, and the kasha opens up incredible richness. The kasha involves a number of different assumptions, a number of different hanachas, and they're going to tell us a lot. Let's take a look. So the Gemara says, turn to Gimel Beis, who is this Tana who requires ksiv l'shma and chasim l'shma? After all, the Mishnah said, b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. E-Rabbi, let's first read, and then we'll have to go back and analyze the hanachas a little bit. From the top line of Gilman Beis. E Rabbi Meir. If the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, Chasima boy, Kasiva lo boy. Rabbi Meir only requires Chasima l'shma. The Gemara goes on to say, Rabbi Lazar only requires Ksiva l'shma. Where do we get it from that there's a machlokas about this? So the Gemara sends us. This machlokas or Meir Belazar, over the course of the keys, you already come across in different places. Where does it come from? So the Gemara here sends us to the first in the series of Mishnayos. Here we go back to Mishnayos that you've seen already in the keys. Chafal from Beis. Chafal from Beis is talking about a different thing. We've already, so far we said the Mishnayos of Chavdal and Chavav talk about Lishma. The Mishnah of Chavav talks about a different din, the din of Mechubar. The beginning of the Mishnah, Chafal from Beis, in Kosin ben Mechubar Lakarka. You wrote a get on Mechubar. You wrote a get on a leaf. The leaf is still attached to the tree. You see sometimes vandalism, pseudo-romantic vandalism. Sometimes you're taking a hike, getting into nature, and you'll see that someone carved their initials in a tree. A little harder. Romantic vandalism. Vandalism is wrong. Whether the romance is good or bad, vandalism is definitely.
It's on a test. How wrong is the threat?
Okay, there you go. There you go. So let's say you have a non-romantic. It may not be vandalism. If it's your own tree, it's not vandalism. But if Reuven owns a tree, decides to carve into the tree again. He carves a get into the tree. And then he peels away the bark. Right, let's say birch trees, the bark of a birch tree is a very good natural substitute for paper. If you're in the wilderness and for some reason you need to write something. So a birch bark is very good for as tinder for starting a campfire, and it's also white birch bark is something you can write on. So the fellow decides he's very into his wilderness survival techniques. He decides to find he's going to write a get on birch bark. So but if he writes a get on the birch bark, even if he owns the birch tree, he writes a get on the birch bark while it's still attached to the tree, and then he peels the bark off. The Mishnah says that's not right. It's you should not write a get on something that's still attached to the ground. Rashi explains, we discussed this earlier in the year. Rashi says, Chafal Avam Beis, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, Dechsiv, V'chonsav V'nasan. V'chonsav La'asefer Krisus V'nasan B'yada. Two verbs in a row, Ksiva, followed immediately by Nesina. So it's not a rule that there can't be time lag in between. You don't have to give a Toch Kedibur of the writing. But there cannot be another necessary event that's mafsik between the Ksiva and the Nesina. She'ena mechusar ketzitza. If there's some other action being done to the get in between v'chasav and v'nasan, that's the problem. It's mechusar ketzitza. You write on the bark and then you peel it off and then you hand it to her. When you wrote it, it was mechusar ketzitza. It was still missing being torn off. There was a ketzitza that was mafsik between the Ksiva and the Nesina. That's a problem. That's the problem. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, let's say Kesavo bin Mechubar, he did write the get on the birch bark while it's still on the tree, to Lasho, and then he tore it off. He peeled it off. The Chasama unisanola. But the Kesiva was done bin Mechubar, but the Chasima, the Edom signed it when it was already torn off. So that good is that not good? So the Mishnah says, Mr. Tanakhama says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. The Tanakhama says kosher. So how do you make sense of that? How do you make sense of that? So one of the approaches in the Gemara there, and that's what our Gemara on Daf Gimel quotes, is, well, apparently the Tana of the Mishnah, at least the Tanakhama, assumes that, yeah, there's a din that B'shas Kesiva, obviously a lot of, you can peel it off before you write it, and it's only at the time of the kesiva it has to be torn off. So the Tanakam of the Mishnah apparently holds that means chasima. If it's chos, if you're chosein betala b'mechubar, that's a problem. But if you're chosein betala, I don't really care. At least b'dieved, it's kosher even the kesiva is b'mechubar. So the Gemara here said, coming back to Gimel, Amud Bey, the Gemara says that. That Tanakama, who is Rabbi Meir, kis chasima boy, ksiva lo boy. He, Rabbi Meir, only requires chasima lishma. Right, you have the Mishnayos and Chavdalet and Chavav talk about the din of lishma. The Mishnah Chavav Abay talks about the din of mechubar. The psul of mechubar, but the Tanakhama there says it's only a psul by the chasima. The chasima has to be betalish. The chasima can't be mechubar. Okay, so the Gemara says, oh, that means that Tanakhama, Rabbi Meir, he holds that. Yeah, v'chasa v'nasan, there can't be a ketzitza going on between v'chasa and v'nasan, but v'chasa means signing. What this implies is that v'chasa really means chasima. It doesn't have to do with the sofer writing the get. It has to do with the edim signing the get. So that's the pasuk says v'chasa v'nasan, better not be a ketzitza between v'chasa v'nasan, but that means between the chasima and the Nesina, not between the actual writing of the get. If so, the Gemara says, just thinking through, and therefore what? So you might ask yourself, okay, so what does it do with us? What does that have to do with us? So Rashi explains that what? That if the chasav, according to Ramei, really means chasima, so that's true for the psul mechubar, which I learned from the chasav and asan, is also true for the psul shalol lishma, the din of lishma, which is the chasav law. According to Meir, we're saying, what does that mean? The chasav law means the chasam law. Reb Meir holds that chasima, the ksiva in the Torah really means the signing. So that's gonna be true according to Meir as well, that you need chasima, that you need chasima lishma, but not ksiva lishma. Okay. So the Gemara says. You're going to have to think about this more, but so far the Gemara's arithmetic. The Gemara's cheshbani, you only need, the Reb Meir holds it that the chasav and chumash means chasima, both with respect to the psul of mechubar as well as with respect to the psul of shalol lishma. So the Gemara says, one second, so our Mishnah, which says b'fana nechtu and b'fana nechtu, according to Rabbi's talking about lishma, it can't be Reb Meir. Reb Meir only holds that you need chasima lishma. He wouldn't say b'fanai nechta. He would just say b'fanai nechta. You have the other opinion. Who's the other opinion? Reb Elazar, chasima boy, chasima lo boy. Or maybe we're talking about Reb Elazar. Maybe we're talking about Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar holds that you need chasivas haget lishma, but not chasima. Where does Reb Elazar come from? Who told you that Reb Elazar holds you need ksiva saget lishma but not chasima? So let's see. So the Gemara explains. V'chi teimali, the Gemara is about to send us to a Mishnah daf peiva. V'chi teimali ol Reb Elazar, well, maybe the Mishnah is Reb Elazar. Maybe Reb Elazar does require both ksiva lishma and chasim lishma. And that's why the shliach maybe get us to say both b'fayin nechtav and b'fayin nechtav. Maybe Reb Elazar holds that you only need ksiva lishma minator, but midraban you need chasim lishma. Also, no, that's not true. Where is this all coming from? Now the Gemara is finally going to explain. Gimel gitim sulin drabanan v'lo bar Reb Elazar chasim lishma. We have the Mishnah Gimel gitim sulin, the Mishnah daf pei vav, and Reb Elazar didn't require chasim lishma. What's going on? So the Gemara here sends you to a mission. You can either follow along to Gimel Beis, or you can turn to Peivav Amud Aleph, where the original mission appears. And in the last Parak Hamigarish, the Mishnah says, Gimel Gittim Sulim, and this is Avlav Kasher. The following are three examples of getting their apostle, but if she goes ahead and remarries, her children are not Memzer. Just to understand what that means for a moment, just unpack that. Meaning if a couple gets divorced, often a tragic situation, almost invariably there was a lot of pain beforehand, except as we discussed in the rare get of love, a get shchiven rab. Lamasa, hopefully there was good guidance, and hopefully in the moment, at that point there was the right decision, but whether a good decision, bad decision, every situation is unique. Lamasa, there was a get given. Reuven and Eliza had been married. Reuven gives Eliza a get. Now Reuven and Eliza are no longer married. So now they're no longer married. Kolzman, they were married. There was an Isser Chamur, Gila Arayo, Savashis Ish, Lo Sinav. And now that a get was given, that restriction is gone, and she's free, Al Pi Halacha, to marry someone else. She goes in, she gets married, she's not living in sin. She married a second husband, Behakta. That's assuming that the get was valid. If a husband gave his wife an envelope and the envelope was empty and she thought it was a get, he thought it was a get for that matter. If it wasn't actually a get, or a more typical case, hopefully not typical, but a more imaginable case where he gave her a document, they thought it was a kosher get, turned out that it was not a kosher get. If it's really not kosher min haTorah, so then, even on the level of the Isa, she's not divorced. They're still married. Aliza may think that she's divorced. Reuven might think that they're divorced. But if it wasn't the valid get, they're still married. Rachman and Salon, she goes ahead thinking that she's divorced and marries Shimon. She thinks that they got married beheter, but if in fact the get was not valid, so then she's really married to Reuven and she's living in sin with Shimon. And every time that Aliza, if that's the case, in a case, Rachman Atzlan, where a woman receives a get which is not valid, so then and then she goes ahead and remarries. Every time she's intimate with her new quote unquote second husband, Al Pi Halacha is not her husband. Al Pi Halacha is just a boyfriend. They think they're married, they think they're doing the right thing. Every time they're intimate, it's an act of los enough. And if they have children, the children are the product of a violation of Gila Raya, and the children are Mamzerim, Rachman Atzlan. Rachman Atzlan. Sadness on top of sadness. So that's it. Then if a get taka is not kosher min haTorah, okay, the get was not, it was said, the din d'oraisa of Lishma, for instance, the get was written shelo Lishma, so she thinks she's divorced, but she's not divorced. Rachman Atzlan, she goes ahead and seeks out a second husband and marries him thinking that it's a valid marriage, thinking that her prior divorce was valid, so havlad mamzer. Here the Mishnah says, though, Gimel getim sulim, the Mishnah says, ein havlad mamzer. Here the following three getin are pasul, but if she were to have received so one of these three pasul getin and went ahead and married a new husband, we would not tell her that her kids are mamzer. In other words, these are three examples of getin which are kosher, obviously, min haTorah, only pasul midrabanan. If they were pasul min haTorah, nothing to talk about. Then, tragically, the kids are mamzer. If we're saying they ain't havlad mamzer, that means that these cases are only psulim midrabanan, and whenever Chazal imposed a psul drabanan, so they can decide, you know, how far do we push that psul drabanan? Is it just, you shouldn't give it, but if you gave it, it's valid? Or you shouldn't give it, if you gave it, we tell you you have to give a new get. But if she married, then already we'll let you stay with that. Imnisis lotetze. Here we're saying, at the very least, if she married and had children, at that point we say, we're not pushing it that far with the other. She already, based on this get, which was possible midraban, they never should have given it to begin with midraban, but they gave the get, and she married a new husband, and they had children, and a vlad mamzer. We don't push this dindraban that far. So what are these three getin, which are possible midrabanan, which Chazal said, it's a fairly severe dindrabanan, but if it got to the point that she already had children from a new husband based on this get, at that point we'd say, the din drabanan is no longer in force. What are these three cases? Again, you could be looking at the Mishnah Pevav and Manal from last paragraph. You could be looking at the Gemara and Gimel and Beit. Either way, this not. Gimel Gittim Sulin. The Nista Vlad Kasha. The following three are Gittim which are possibly drabanan. You're possibly drabanan. And if it got to the point that she already had children from a new husband based on this get, the children are not mamzer. Chazal did not say that those kids are mamzer and mijabar. What are the three cases? Number one, kasav diksav yadav ein alav eden. The husband wrote the get in his own handwriting. No eden. Something you'll have that in the world of dinim avinus. I want to write a shtar chov. Benny's going to lend me money. So he wants proof that he lent me money. So that if I default the loan, he can say, schlep me into Beis Din, Cohen versus Cohen. And he'll sue me. So typically you would have a shtar and you would have aid. If Isaac signs it, then Cohen is signing is an aid to shtar between Cohen and Cohen. They're a little confusing. And usually that's the way you want to have a shtar right, a shtar chov. So you'll draft the document and you'll have aidim who sign it. Okay. Sometimes if you want to, Mishnayos say elsewhere in Babasra, instead of having external aidim sign it, I could sign it myself. I'll write a get. I, Cohen, borrowed money from Benny Cohen, and I owe him that this is the amount that I borrowed, and this is the due date. I wrote it myself. So, okay. It's like the Hadas Baldin. It's not Aiden. It's me. Okay. How about by a get? Instead of it being signed, the husband wrote the get, but it has no signatures. So the Mishnah says, no signature is not okay. Psul drabanan. A get without signatures is possibly drabanan. Number two, Yeshal Vedim Ein Bozman. It is signed by witnesses, but they didn't date the get. So apparently the need for a date is also a din to Rabbanah. That comes up earlier in the Masechta. You have a get that doesn't have a date. It's Kasher Min HaTorah, possibly Rabbanan. we would not allow the woman to remarry. Woman wants to remarry. She just sends to the Masada Kedusha and he says, "Will you marry before?" She says, "Yeah, okay, let's talk about your get. Let's make sure your get was valid." And it turns out that her get didn't have his man, who say, "You go out to get another get." But if she already remarried based on the get, then it turns out after she has children that her original get from her first husband didn't have his man. It was possible midrabanan, but the children are kosher. The children are not mamzerim, even midrabanan. Number three. Okay, the first case was ksav yada but no chasinas edom. The second case was there was no zman. The third case is yesh zman ein bo ela eid echad. It has one eid, not two eid. So all the harayelu shlosha gitim. So all these cases are pasul, but only pasul drabanan, as evidenced by the fact the emnisis of lav kasha. If she married based on this get, push down the shav. We're not going to say that the kids are mamzerim. Therefore, clearly this is not a Sol midrabanan. Let's see another couple of lines. You don't have to see the whole chunk of the Mishnah. Let's go in here. Rabbi Lazar says, "Afa pisha ein alav edim elishin asanol b'fnei edim kasher." Lazar says, "Let's say there were no edim whatsoever, but there were edim watching, edim mesira. There are no edim chasima, no edim signed the get. Edim watching says that is a kasher get." He goes on to say, "Ein edim chos." We'll get to some of the details about the chasim shibadim, not for now. The whole need for chasima is only midrabanan. Takana drabanan to require chasima as a get. It's going to be helpful later on. It allows the get to serve as a shtaraya. But fundamentally, the get is valuable, as it says, minat Torah, even without chasima. So that's what the Gemara says here. That's what the Gemara says here, that while Rabbi Meir holds that the psul is only chasima, the psul of mechubar is only chasima, as the Mishnah says above, and by extension, presumably the psul of lishma is also only by chasima, Rabbi Lazar, in the Mishnah of Pevav Amin Aleph, says that the psul lishma is rak b'ksiva. How do you know that the psul lishma is only by ksiva? Well, because Rabbi Lazar holds that you don't even need chasima at all. The whole need for chasima is on Jabban, Rulaza says. Rabbi Meir thinks that the Torah described chasima as agent. The Torah says, v'chastav l'aparshki zetcher, Meir thinks that means sign the get l'shma, and then immediately give it to the wife, without any hefsek of tzitz in between. Rulaza says, there's no such thing as chasima.
Did you come to Rabbi Kahn's office? Did you have in Scheinfeld to Rabbi Kahn's office?
Blue.
You might. I'll leave you with the kasha. Wonder the following. Just for starters, you might wonder. It seems like we have a machlokas. Rabbi Lazar clearly holds that chasima is not required in the Torah. Rabbi Meir holds it is. Why did the Gemara, where did Meir get it from, A, that v'chasav means chasima? I mean, v'chasav sounds like ksiva. That's what it sounds like. What would it prompt him to say means chasima? And moreover, the Gemara assumes that it's only chasima. The Mishnah sounds like that on Chafalef, that he doesn't pasal mechubar by the ksiva, saying only by the chasima. Why? V'chasav means chasima, that's a chiddush. V'chasav means only chasima, not ksiva. Where did this come from? What's Rabbi Meir saying? As we're gonna continue to explore, we'll see there are some other nafkamis, other situations the Gemara's Tola and Rabbi Lazar of Meir that don't really seem to relate. We're gonna need to figure out what Rabbi Lazar of Meir actually saying about the nature of a get, the nature of a shtar. We will continue with this in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.